When you were growing up, I don't know, did you have any particular traditions in your family? One particular tradition that I seem to look forward to was the breaking of the wishbone. Well, we didn't fight over it. We were, you know, we were all very peaceable. Maybe your family, they fought over that. I don't know. But whenever we would have a chicken, a whole roast of chicken, or I suppose a turkey, then the wishbone would go up into the warming oven. You know what I mean? You do know what I mean by a warming oven. Some of you are old enough to remember the warming oven over top. Over top of the wood stove. For you youngins, like Debbie, she's younger than myself. She grew up in the city, you know, she grew up in town, so she wouldn't know the joys of maintaining a wood stove and that sort of thing, the joys of being out in the cold. What are you rolling your eyes for? She wouldn't know the joys of being out in the cold, playing outside and then coming in and having mom open the oven door and setting a chair in front of the oven, and you set your feet on the edge of the oven door and just feeling your toes warm up. Lots of memories are coming back, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
You also maybe remember skittering across the floor when it was time to get up for school and the fire hadn't been on for very long and the floor wasn't very warm either in some of those older houses. But one of the traditions that we had was breaking of the wishbone. And I remember looking forward to it. We didn't fight over it. We took our turn. No, that's the truth. That is the truth. But when I think about the actual tradition of breaking the wishbone, it was something special because it didn't happen very often. It didn't happen every Sunday, but it happened with enough regularity, and we kids, we took our turn, and it was always with Mom. I don't know why it was only with Mom, but she would encourage us to make our wish, and we would take the wishbone each by the pinky and give it a tug, and whoever got the biggest piece, of course. I'm explaining this because some of you may not know the tradition of breaking the wishbone. And whoever got the biggest piece of the wishbone, why, their wish would come true. I think it was just because it was something that didn't happen every day. And you know what? Even as a little kid, I never had any expectations that my wish would come true. Did you?
Yes.
Gary's still waiting. And I never had any expectation that my wish would come true. And there were some other things that we did where, you know, if you did this, then and you made a wish and you didn't tell any. Did you, if you found a penny, did you put it in your shoe? You had to keep it for, maybe that was a maritime thing. I don't know. Some of you did. But I never had any expectation that any of those things would ever happen. I remember different, you know, on rare occasion, if I was out and I came across a few pennies on the side of the road, and that was like finding a treasure trove, wasn't it? That was like, you got very excited because you saw the treasure that was in front of you, not a hoped for wish. But let's be honest with ourselves. There are times in our hearts when we pray, there's times where we don't expect very much, do we? There are times like that. The disciples, when they were with Jesus, I am surprised that they didn't say to Jesus, "Slow down, you're blowing my mind." Now, maybe that wasn't a phrase that they used in those days. But to see Jesus delivering people from evil, raising people from sickness, feeding 5,000 and feeding 4,000. And then Jesus comes walking on the water. I'm surprised that none of the disciples at some point didn't say, Jesus, slow down, you're going too fast. I've just got to process things and work things out and just try and fit this together, because these things aren't ordinary things that happen every day. That's why we call them miracles. That Jesus, the Son of God, trusting God the Father, was able to do things to bring glory to himself. It says, of course, that the disciples, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, it says that they did not understand, for their minds were hardened. Okay, so let's not blame the disciples for this. Okay, let's not blame the disciples for the simple reason that, as we saw last week when we were speaking about John the Baptist and different things, that in God's economy, there is a right time for everything. That they could not understand because it wasn't the right time. The Holy Spirit had not been poured out upon them. Jesus had not been raised from the dead. But Jesus was instructing them so that at the right time, the light would go on and they would say, aha, now I get it. Now I understand. And Jesus was very patient with them and taught them and instructed them in the way to go. But we don't have that excuse so much, for the very simple reason that the Holy Spirit has been given. The word is proclaimed. We know the end of the story. We see the end of the story. Jesus is risen from the dead. He has ascended to God the Father. He has ascended and is preparing a place for us, and will return to take his children home to be with him, to enjoy his presence and the presence of God the Father forever and ever. We don't have that excuse. So why are these tales given? They are given to encourage us to seek the Lord and to trust and to look to him. You see, after Jesus fed the 5,000, what did he do? Jesus was standing there. He said, disciples, get into the boat, go across the boat, go the water. I'll meet you on the other side. And what did Jesus do? He went into a place and he spent time with God. He went off to the hills to pray. If Jesus needs to pray and spend time with God, then so do we. Amen. Then so do we. Many years ago, I was challenged by a quote from a particular writer who said, when I don't pray, things don't happen. When I do pray, things happen. Very simple, isn't it? That there are times where we might be tempted to look around and say, well, why isn't this happening? Well, why isn't that happening? It may well be that we have forgotten the example of Jesus to spend time alone with him. Yes, we are busy. Yes, there are things that need to be done, so many things that need to be done. People to see. Things to be cared for. Things to cross off the to-do list, so that we can approach the end of the day and say, okay, I have accomplished. Or maybe be frustrated because things didn't happen the way we wanted, and therefore we didn't get as many things scratched off the to-do list that we wanted. But the challenge I believe that God gives is that when we take time to spend with him, we discover we are able to enjoy his presence and a richness in our life, and if you want to put it in these terms, to be more productive, not only with our to-do list, but also with our life, because we are walking more in the power and in the grace of God. That His Spirit is moving upon us because we have taken the time to honor the Lord. And as we surrender to Him, as we look at the Scriptures and allow His Word to feed our heart, we are able to commune with Him and to enjoy His presence. Yesterday, as part of my devotions, I read from Colossians, where it says that Jesus is in everything. Jesus is Lord of everything. We want to be in Jesus, and as He is the author of life, we will know life better. When we were coming home from the cottage yesterday, I was listening to the Christian radio station, and a lady was saying, "I know it's busy, 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 but when I find that when I spend time with God, then I find that I am able to approach life with a much better frame and a much better spirit because I am with the Lord. Because I am in the Lord." The disciples may have had an excuse. Although Jesus kept their feet to the fire, we don't have such an excuse. The Lord calls upon us in the Scriptures to be patient. There are times where we say, "Lord, we want to see." But the Lord says, "Be patient. At the right time, I will meet with you." The Lord says, "Don't give up. Don't despair. Persevere. Hang in there." Yes, there are times where we would like to see Jesus walking on water. People bringing the sick to the marketplace. And yes, we do pray continually for those who are ill. But what we do is we trust. And there would be a huge difference if we didn't pray, wouldn't there? A huge difference. Because not only do we bring requests week by week, "Please pray for," but we also say, "God has answered prayer. God has answered prayer. God is touching. God is moving. God is at work in our hearts and lives." Love these words. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That when we go through the storms of life, who is there? Yes, even walking on the water. But Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we just want to praise and thank You for Your goodness and for Your grace in every way, every gift that You give to us.